It's Lucy Cutting and Your Afternoon on ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania.
Hello, my name is Craig McCormack. I'm a PhD candidate from the University of Western Australia in Perth, and I'm a director of Felix Lab. We are a design firm based in Perth as well.
What is space architecture?
Well, that's exactly what my sort of PhD research is pertaining to, or it's based on. There, space architecture exists. It's a thing like naval architecture, like submarines and boats, to the extent that you could use the International Space Station as the primary example of space architecture. But space architecture is very much an engineering discipline. I'm interested in architecture in space as opposed to space architecture. So less of a survivalist space, or less engineering, more conducive to life and living.
So more in tune, I guess, with designing spaces that are kind of pleasing to the eye and pleasing to comfort.
Pleasing to be in, yeah, happy. I mean, no different from wanting to have a house and not a jail cell, I suppose, or a cage, right? So you can certainly survive in these places, but you want to have a nice life. You want to have a comfortable bed, a nice, you know, be able to paint your walls or hang a picture up or have a nice material for your walls or have a nice light coming in, a comfortable space.
The kind of space architecture that we see in so many films, like Alien and all of the films, is almost like a stereotype. It's almost like this kind of futuristic experience. Is that what you envision space architecture to look like?
No, I mean, I don't really have an answer to what I think it should look like. I think everybody would have their own interpretation. Anybody who has any interest in design whatsoever and would have their own interpretation about their ideal space architecture. No different from if you asked different people to design their own ideal house. There would all be variations on a theme. I mean, architecture in science fiction movies is supremely interesting to me because there is this sort of, it's an accepted cultural imagination. People accept that this may be what it's going to be like in the future. And there are some theorists that postulate that science fiction is indeed a coping mechanism for the inevitable, I suppose. But certainly I hope it's not like Alien necessarily. Although, I mean, without the aliens, it'd be okay. I can handle it in industrial space, you know. I mean, industrial architecture is a thing. I mean, people have art galleries that have an industrial characteristic, or they might have lofts in the States and in New York City, for instance, that you have the sort of industrial characteristic, and they can be quite comfortable if that's your thing. But no, definitely minus the aliens. Yeah.
That's what we all hope. In terms of the challenges with working in space and architecture, what are some of the greatest challenges that you see?
Well, probably the biggest challenge for architecture moving into space, if it ever does, because it's not guaranteed that it will. We've only been going to space for a small time. One of the biggest challenges is that people recognize that architecture is allowed into space, or that they think it should be in space. I mean, I had the fortune to be based in America for a year studying at the Sasakawa International Center for Space Architecture. That's at the University of Houston, where they teach a master's in space architecture. So I was basically at the front line. And it's amazing. I met astronauts regularly. I was visiting NASA occasionally, and they had never heard of space architecture. Even though technically some of them had actually existed and lived in it, and, you know, a large part of the space project is establishing a human presence, which you would think would necessitate architecture in space or space architecture. So a large part of the problem is just having people aware of it, that it can be more and should be more than just a survivalist space.
That's such an interesting point, because you could almost argue that architecture is a luxury that we have on Earth.
Yeah, I don't think it's perceived any differently in space. It's certainly seen, and I'm from Perth, Western Australia. It's a very developer-driven state. People are going to be crying foul now hearing that, but that's the truth of it. And architecture is seen as a luxury, as an additive, you engage an architect, it's going to make things cost more. And it's just not the case. I wouldn't call myself a practical architect. I'm certainly not registered. But I know many cases and many examples of architects who've saved money or cost the same as had they gone down a different route. And the same would be no different for space.
So that's almost the argument that you're making, that it could potentially have greater benefits beyond comfort.
Absolutely. It's no different than having a workspace that's better to be in. You're probably more productive, for instance. So I don't see any reason why architecture should be disallowed from space. I can only see it improving. I mean, I don't want to say productivity, because it's not about that, but, you know, having a better time, like having a space, or having outer space as a place to live in, ultimately.
So we've talked about the challenges. What do you think are some of the possibilities? It seems like a more limitless space in design.
It seems on the surface, I suppose, that it is limitless because there's space. There's a lot of room, right? Infinite for all intents and purposes. But the difficulty is it's a very challenging space to exist in. It's probably one of the most hostile environments known to mankind. And we don't have much of a presence there. Everything about it, it's trying to kill us. One of the biggest difficulties is actually just getting stuff up there and getting things there. If you think about how they're getting things into space at the moment, it hasn't changed since the 1960s. They're still sending rockets up into space, no different than a road train, and you're limited by the cargo bay. So you can't go up there and start manufacturing gigantic big spaces very easily. Look at the International Space Station. It's basically a modular construction. So they basically put bunches of shipping containers together, round, because of the rocket bay fuselage kind of determines the volume and the form. So the biggest thing would be new methods of entering space or new methods of construction up there. There is a module being tested. Its acronym is BEAM, and it's funded by Bigelow. He's a real estate mogul from America and started out in Las Vegas. And he has used a patent from NASA, based on the TransHab module. And this is an inflatable module. So it goes up in the same cargo bay constraints, the same volumetric constraints, but you can essentially inflate it and it will blow up to be a larger volume to give a bigger sort of internal space. And then you can really start doing interesting things. But that space can still be dangerous. And there's been issues of, we'll say, smaller than average astronauts in an interior space in the International Space Station that get trapped in space, because in microgravity, you can't just move around that easily. You have to push and pull off things. And if you are too small or too short and you can't reach the walls, for instance, you can be trapped in space too. So you have to sort of design in a different way. Gravity doesn't hold you down. You don't return to the ground anymore. There are no floors or walls or ceilings. There is just surfaces.
I feel like that would be me in space.
It wouldn't be me. You'd have to have a big space, you know.
Craig, help me.
We'd have to tie you down to things, you know, tether you off.
I'm chatting with Craig McCormack from Felix Lab. Craig, the reason why you're in Tasmania at the moment is because you're involved in this event, which is Antarctic Interiors, Architecture and Ice. Where do you fit into that title? How are you fitting into this event?
Well, I've been invited by a friend, an academic, a professional colleague of mine, Miranda, who's presenting, and her research is based, Miranda Niebuhr, her research is based on in the Antarctic, or about the Antarctic. It concerns the Antarctic, and it is an extreme environment. And space is not dissimilar to Antarctica. It is another extreme environment. And we have another presenter as well, Dr. Virginia Lee, and her sort of focuses on the desert or arid regions. And that, again, is another extreme environment. So these are remarkably and fundamentally different places, different environments, different locations, but they have an incredibly rich overlap, if you will. So hopefully we can learn from each other.
And when you're looking at other extreme environments like Antarctica, for example, does that influence how you view space architecture as well?
I mean, selfishly, I'm kind of hoping that I learn a lot from these other presenters as well and see how they're approaching it. I think that, there's potentially a lot to learn. And we behave in similar ways in these environments. We have to take all our technology with us to survive. And so there are there's remarkable similarities in how we exist in these environments.
I had never heard of space architecture until I met you.
2 minutes ago. Lovely.
Well, 9 minutes and 28 seconds to be specific. But are there many people engaging in this space?
There are. I mean, I think it's like a lot of things. Look at YouTube. You can just type in anything and all of a sudden there's a whole subculture and there's existing about these sort of pursuits. I was finishing my master's degree in architecture, which is what I studied originally, and I was choosing or thinking about selecting a final design project. And typically, people are very concerned with the job they're going to get when they graduate. So they're very concerned, this is a generalization, of choosing a project that they can make a great portfolio with and get themselves a job. And I don't know what I was thinking, because I was just going for a run one day trying to think of something that I would enjoy to get me through the dark times in case I was finding it challenging. And I was just thinking about things I always liked. And I always liked space Lego. And I literally went home and thought, I'll just punch in space architecture and see if it's a thing. And if it was a thing. And in fact, it's been a thing for a very long time. And there's some incredible people involved with it. It typically tends to focus around, we'll say, space hubs in America, like Houston, where the space program is quite fervent. But there's been really well-known space architects, one in particular from Russia, a female, Galina Balashova, was practically responsible for the entire Russian space program up to a certain point in time. And they are examples of, including Galina Balashova, there are examples of architects trying to get architecture into space, not just the engineering side, but they're trying to design a conducive space for living.
Who do you see as the big leaders? Because I feel like it's a bit of a thing to talk about the Elon Musks in the world. Who do you see as the big leaders who will prioritize comfort and design and that architecture kind of approach as opposed to the technical?
Sure. Look, I don't think Elon Musk at all is going to be pioneering that at all. I'm not even sure if he's going to be pioneering much in space. Everything keeps getting folded back and back and back. And potentially he's just trying to increase the value of stock in Tesla. I'm not sure what his sort of motivations are or motives. In terms of space architecture, the big leaders, I think they're probably yet to come. I think they're coming out of places like CICSA, where I studied and had the fortune to study. I think, and there are space architects working that I know personally, working at NASA right now, and they've just started working. They're new and they're young and they're hungry and they've got amazing ideas. There are space architects at NASA that have backgrounds working as architects in New York, as industrial designers, with incredible experiences. And I think they in the future will be the ones to bring it. I would like to be part of that in terms of research and writing about it and being involved to some degree, but I don't know if I'm necessarily going to be at that sort of the battlefront fighting for it and championing it in terms of designing these spaces. But there are some amazing people out there designing some amazing things right now.
I read somewhere that you had said that the view out of the International Space Station window would arguably be the best view in the world.
Mm.
Is there any view on Earth for you that's comparable to what people would see up there?
That's actually a very good question. And yeah, absolutely. Myself and my wife recently purchased an apartment in a super convenient location near the beach in Perth. We've got great beaches in Western Australia. It's an amazing place. Close to where I work and teach and close to where my wife works. And it's a very humble little apartment, but my wife's an architect. An actual practicing architect, a very good one. And we, as people who had studied architecture, chose it for very specific reasons. It faces north, so it's shielded from the summer sun, but allows the winter sun in. And the view from that, it's a simple view. We're only seven floors up, but we have a beautiful view of the surround, and it is probably the best view for me. It's incredible. Really simple, but perfect.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.